friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. My first pitch on the Sunny Side of Sports is World Series Baseball. The Boston Red Sox beat the visiting Los Angeles Dodgers Wednesday night 4-2 to take a 2-0 lead in the best of seven championship series. The Red Sox got a strong performance from left-handed hurler David Price, as we hear now from the AP's Mark Myers in Boston.
David Price and three relievers kept the Dodgers' offense in check as Boston wins it 4-2, putting them 2 wins away from a World Series title. Price went the first 6 innings, allowing 2 runs on 3 hits before handing it off to the bullpen.
There's no other stage that's going to be bigger than, you know, pitching in a World Series game, unless it's Game 7 of the World Series. So, to be able to do that, that feels good, for sure.
The Red Sox did most of their damage in the 5th inning. Steve Pierce drew a 2-out bases-loaded walk to tie the game at 2, and J.D. Martinez followed with a 2-run single to provide the winning margin.
I take pride in hitting and being, you know, not just one-dimensional hitter, a complete hitter. And it's something that we all talk about.
Mark Myers, Boston.
Thanks, Mark. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. First baseman David Freese knocked in one of the Dodgers' runs on Wednesday night. With the World Series moving to Los Angeles for Game 3 Friday night, Freese says the Dodgers need to show their fighting spirit in Southern California.
We're men, come on. We're fine. We're just heading home, bottom line. I think we got walk on the mound, not quite sure, but give them the rock and let's go. We need it. We need it to be 2-1.
Another Dodger outfielder, Cody Bellinger, says his team has to focus now on Game 3.
We got to keep it going, you know. Obviously, coming out here at Fenway is tough, and going down 2 games is not what you want, but, I mean, you can't look back now. You got to keep looking forward.
As Bellinger and the Dodgers look forward to Friday night in Game 3, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to my friend and big Red Sox fan, Todd the Tractor Gothberg. The Tractor tossed this quip my way on Facebook. We're up 2 and the Dodgers are feeling blue. And in case you're wondering, Sonny, how did Todd get his nickname of the Tractor? Well, the way I understand it, when Todd, a competitive athlete, runs, he simply plows through the opposition like a tractor. The Tractor, Todd Gothberg. Meanwhile, as Mark Myers reported earlier, the Red Sox are now 2 wins away from the team's 4th World Series title in 15 seasons. The Dodgers, meanwhile, will have to rally to win their first World Series title since 1988. With more on the Red Sox-Dodgers World Series, here's my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson.
You make it this far, you got to go ahead and win it.
Boston Red Sox center fielder Mookie Betts and his teammates are in the 114th World Series against the Los Angeles Dodgers, two of Major League Baseball's most historic teams. It's been 5 years since Boston won the Fall Classic, and for many players like Betts, playing for a championship is a new experience.
I mean, we haven't been to this step. I mean, it's still going to be the same game, so we have to understand that we still have to execute the same way we've done all year, but this aspect is definitely different for us.
Xander Bogaerts is one of two players who won with the Red Sox in 2013, and he knows it's been a long time.
It just makes me be a little more appreciative of the opportunity again, because as I said, I won my first year. I'm like, oh, okay, next year we're going to be there, you know, maybe if not the next year, but it took 5 years, and 5 years of hard work.
7-time All-Star Clayton Kershaw, Game 1 starting pitcher for the Dodgers, has recent World Series experience from last year's loss to the Houston Houston Astros.
I think it's good that we've been there. You know, I think for our team, you know, to get to come back after last year and, you know, get a taste of it, what it was like last year, and going to seven games, playing the full seven, and coming that close. I think the experience can help a little bit as far as what to expect.
Although Los Angeles is back for a second straight year, manager Dave Roberts thinks the Dodgers are underdogs.
It's kind of a role reversal for us. You know, it's the high payroll, high-powered Red Sox. For us to kind of be in the game, that's a good thing for us. So I like the underdog role.
Robert says the matchup offers a lot for the fans.
The strategy part of it, I think that's very exciting for a baseball purist that loves to see what managers think and how you can kind of match up against the opposition.
Dave Roberts and Boston manager Alex Cora were once teammates in Los Angeles in the early 2000s. This is the first World Series to feature two minority managers, and Cora is happy to give Puerto Ricans something to cheer about.
I'm proud to be here. I'm proud representing not only all the Puerto Ricans that live in the islands, but, you know, Puerto Ricans all around the world. It should be fun the next week and a half, whatever it is, and looking forward to get back home after the World Series.
And thanks to my VOA colleague Jim Stevenson for that hard-hitting World Series baseball report. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
They're playing back.
In National Basketball Association action Wednesday night, two-time league most valuable player Stephen Curry produced another spectacular shooting performance. And in the process, Steph shot down my favorite team, the Washington Wizards. The AP's Ryan Leong reports from Oakland, California.
Stephen Curry poured in an NBA season-high 51 points as the Warriors in a shootout beat the Wizards 144-122. Curry made 11 of 16 three-pointers for the night. He scored 23 points in the first quarter, making 8 of 11 shots and 5 of 6 beyond the arc. In the third quarter, he was 5 of 8 from distance, and after his 10th made three, gave a shrug to his teammates in front of the bench.
I had no explanation for what was going on besides just ultimate confidence and rhythm. And it's special. I mean, that's the end of the third quarter when you hear the crowd going crazy. I love playing in front of our fans, and this year is going to be amazing every time we get the suit up here, so... You know, it's just one game, but I had an amazing night.
It's the sixth time Curry's had a 50-point game, and he finished 3 points shy of his career high of 54. Ryan Leong, Oakland.
Thanks, Ryan. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In more NBA results, LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers got their first win of the season after three consecutive losses. LeBron had 19 points, 7 rebounds, and 10 assists as the Lakers scored a 131-113 road victory over the Phoenix Suns. The Toronto Raptors equaled the best start in team history with a 112-105 victory over the visiting Minnesota Timberwolves. Kawhi Leonard, who the Raptors acquired in a big offseason trade with the San Antonio Spurs, scored a season-high 35 points. It was the fifth consecutive win for unbeaten Toronto. I mentioned the Spurs. They lost Wednesday night to the visiting Indiana Pacers, 116-96. In more NBA results, the Atlanta Hawks spread their wings and soared past the visiting Dallas Mavericks, 111-104. Atlanta guards Kent Bazemore and Trae Young had very good games. Bazemore scored 32 points, including a thunderous dunk with just over a minute to go in the game, and Young added 17 points and 5 assists as the Hawks rallied from a 26-point deficit in the first half to stun the Mavericks. The Milwaukee Bucks, like the Toronto Raptors, are unbeaten after a victory over the visiting Philadelphia 76ers. The AP's Chuck Freeman reports from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
It's been 17 seasons since the Milwaukee Bucks started their season 4-0. They beat the Philadelphia 76ers 123-108. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 32 points and 18 rebounds. He became the first player since Wilt Chamberlain in 1965 to start an NBA season with four straight games of at least 25 points and 15 rebounds. Brooke Lopez hit on five straight three-pointers to help the Bucks pull out to a seven-point halftime lead. Lopez says the Bucks have to build on their unbeaten start.
We just have to continue to be committed night in and night out, and we can't get restless or lazy or complacent with what we're doing. You know, we have to come out hungry every night.
The Sixers were coming off an overtime loss the previous night. They were led by Joel Embiid's 30 points. Chuck Freeman, Milwaukee.
Thanks, Chuck. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. It was a busy night in the NBA, and here are five more results from Wednesday night. The Brooklyn Nets scored a 102-86 road victory over the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Miami Heat beat the visiting New York Knicks 110-87. The host Chicago Bulls edged the Charlotte Hornets 112-110. The Sacramento Kings defeated the visiting 97-92, and Donovan Mitchell and the Utah Jazz defused James Harden and the Houston Rockets, as we hear now from the AP's Adam Spillane in Houston, Texas.
Donovan Mitchell's 38-point night helped the Utah Jazz to a 100-89 win over the Houston Rockets. Mitchell shot 14 of 25 from the field while adding 5 rebounds and 7 assists as the Jazz improved to 2-2 on the season. After a couple of losses, Mitchell says his team got back to its style of basketball.
The last two games, we didn't play like us, you know, us as a team, and I think that's what kind of, you know, refueled us. We kind of wanted to go out there and, you know, just play the way we have been playing all last year.
Rudy Gobert chipped in 12 points and 13 rebounds, while Joe Ingles scored 11. James Harden led the Rockets with 29 points and 7 assists.
I think we got shots and opportunities that we usually get. You know, obviously, even for myself, missed a couple bunnies around the rim. I think in that third quarter, we picked it up on the defensive end, and we got a lot of open opportunities in transition. And it's going to have to be that way consistently throughout the course of a game for us to have a chance.
The Rockets shot just 40% from the field as Houston falls to 1-3. Adam Spillane, Houston.
Thanks, Adam. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. We heard from James Harden in Adam Spillane's report. Harden is the NBA's reigning league most valuable player, and there are concerns about his health after he left that loss to Utah in the fourth quarter with tightness in his left hamstring. James Harden missed 7 games last season with another hamstring injury, but in his words, this injury is nothing serious. Just ahead, my VOA colleague Gwen Ooten will have news about Qatar's preparations for the 2022 World Cup football tournament. But first, this VOA programming announcement.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music, and Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. With the 2018 World Cup football tournament in Russia now history, attention is turning to the 2022 World Cup in Qatar. And joining us now with news about the country's preparations is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. On Tuesday, FIFA President Gianni Infantino stepped onto the construction site of a future Qatar World Cup stadium and gave a thumbs up.
When you enter here, you can immediately feel how imposing it is, and you know, the progress which is made here 4 years before the kickoff of this World Cup is great. It's fantastic. I mean, we're looking very, very much forward. And when I come to visit and when I see every time something new that has been done, and we are able to give our comments, our remarks, who can still be taken into account, you know, this is really, really promising for the World Cup in 22.
Infantino's praise comes amid concerns about the desert state's tiny size, high temperatures, and lack of infrastructure. However, he used this year's World Cup in Russia as an example that any concerns leading up to World Cup tournaments are unwarranted.
There were many fears about Russia by many people, and it turned out to be a very safe World Cup, a very welcoming World Cup, a country that facilitated the entrance for the fans and made them really feel good. The whole population contributed to that, and I'm sure that something very similar will happen here, and this is certainly something that we will need to cooperate together with the Russians. Russian World Cup has been the best ever. The World Cup in 22 in Qatar has to be even better.
The host nation is pushing ahead with their ambitious infrastructure plans, promising to complete 7 new stadiums by 2020. Meanwhile, the FIFA president is set to hold a vote this week in Kigali, Rwanda, over his controversial plans to implement 2 new international football tournaments. He envisions a mini World Cup called the Final 8 to be held every 2 years and feature 8 international teams. Infantino outlined his plans earlier this year and said they are already backed by a group of solid and serious investors willing to spend over $25 billion over a 12-year cycle beginning in 2021. However, the World Leagues Forum has strongly opposed the plan. The WLF represents 38 professional leagues in Africa, Asia, South and North America, and Europe. Members of the WLF express concerns that Infantino's plans would create an imbalance in domestic club football and would further increase the gap between the wealthy clubs and the rest. And a spokesman for the European League says he's opposed to both the process and the content of Infantino's proposal. As of this report, UEFA has not issued a statement regarding the upcoming vote in Kigali, but the association has in the past made clear its opposition to the plans. Last week, the WLF asked Infantino not to go for a vote, and in a signed letter, the leagues confirmed that they are, quote, firmly opposed to any decision at this stage. But despite the opposition, the FIFA council meeting is set for Friday in Kigali. I'll keep you posted, sports fans. That's all from me. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to African athletics, the energetic Andy Edwards caught up with a top Kenyan distance runner ahead of Sunday's Minova Frankfurt Marathon in Germany. Here's Andy.
I'm with Betsy Saina, who has an interesting background. Of course, many of the Kenyan athletes do, but she's come to the marathon after being a top performer on the track in the Olympics, and she won her first marathon success victory in Paris in April this year, running 2:22.56. But that was after failing to finish her first two marathon attempts, Tokyo and New York. So, Betsy, we're in Frankfurt. This is marathon number 4 for you. How much did that win in Paris in April do for your confidence?
You know, it just gave me a huge boost because, you know, when I was in the track, I was just assuming, like, I'm just going to go to the marathon and be successful. But then unfortunately, marathon is completely different compared to the track. So it just took me a little bit like disappointed for the whole year. But then when I came back this year and win Berries, it just changed everything to me. And I just started feeling like, oh, I think I know what I need to do to be ready for the next one. So it helped me to know exactly like what to do. And it just gave me a lot of confidence coming back to here.
You say how different the marathon is compared to the track. I mean, on the track in the Rio Olympics, you were fifth in the 10,000 metres. I mean, excellent performances. But how different did it feel when you came to Tokyo Marathon, New York Marathon, and you didn't reach the finish line? I mean, what was it? Was it something mental or your body? And then you had the improvement, and indeed big improvement, to win in Paris.
After Rio, of course, you know, getting ready for Tokyo was one of the biggest thing. I was really super excited because I was like, I just want to know what I can do as a marathoner after achieving like running 30.07 from the track. But then in the process of getting ready to run Tokyo, I got an injury like exactly a month before the race, and I had a very bad tendonitis. And all the time in the track, when I have something like an armstring or I have a tendon, I always go there and I always get away with it. But unfortunately, it doesn't work like that in marathon. So I had a very good lesson for that. And you know, it took me almost the whole year because even getting ready to New York, I still had like problem with my tendon, but I never want to give up. I was like, I just want to have another one again, not knowing that you will never get to the start line when you are not healthy for the marathon. You will not finish it.
Just going back a few years in your career, because you have good experience in the American collegiate scene. You were running for Iowa State when you were studying there. And what did that do for you in terms of running in that American collegiate system? I mean, what did you learn from that as a runner?
You know, when I left Kenya for school in the US, I wasn't a runner like, you know, these elites from Kenya. I was just like that kid who just wanted to go to school and achieve education and come back home. You know, it was a huge thing when I get there and I started running for college, and all of a sudden I felt like I was getting to the level whereby everybody else, it's a baby steps, but then it was getting me to the level whereby I can be an elite, and it just changed everything. I ended up achieving my education, which was the most important thing that I was going there, and then I ended up, you know, finding out that I'm a talented athlete. So I have a lot of respect being in the United States, to be honest. It's one of the things that I never knew I would achieve if I didn't go there.
You've also got a big learning curve, I think, because you've got a new coach in Renato Canova, a renowned coach in long distance running. What sort of changes, if he's made changes, has he to your training, and what sort of impression has he made on you?
For marathon, you just need someone like, I think I needed someone like Canova who will understand me and give me everything, you know, after watching me running, and he knew exactly what he needs to give me. He's a scientist person, and he's always there, like, you know, like, he really wants to know exactly what is good for you. He coaches you specifically for you. So that was one of the biggest things that I needed to get better for marathon, and I'm so grateful to have Canova as my coach.
So it all looks good for Sunday in the Minova Frankfurt Marathon. You're hopeful that you're going to be one of the leading finishers?
Yeah, training has been going on really well. And like I told you, it's marathon. I have to respect it with a lot of respect. But to be honest, my training has been way better than the way it was in Paris. And I'm so excited to just come and with no pressure, I just want to go there and do my thing. You know, you saw Eliud the way he ran. He just ran without pacemakers, but he still ran the world record. So I'll just do my own race because it's marathon. I don't want to run anyone's race. I just want to run the way I feel like I've trained for.
Good to hear your story, Betsy. All the best for Sunday. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you, energetic Andy Edwards, for that interview with Kenyan athlete Betsy Saina, who is rated one of the top female runners in Sunday's Minova Frankfurt Marathon in Germany. And Andy says he'll be chatting with a few more top African athletes ahead of the race in Germany. So please stay tuned to Friday's show. And regarding Thursday's show and my wrap of all those NBA results, I couldn't figure out the team the Sacramento Kings defeated. Well, if you're a Memphis Grizzlies fan, sorry. The Kings defeated the visiting Grizzlies 97-92 on Wednesday evening. Finally, let's give a sunny side of sports salute to German tennis player Alexander Zverev. Alexander became the first man to reach 50 wins on the ATP Tour this season by beating Dutch opponent Robin Haas 6-4 and 7-5 in the first round of the Swiss indoors competition in Basel, Switzerland. The second-seeded German improved to 50 wins and 16 losses for 2018. Zverev has won three titles, including one right here in Washington. He successfully defended his title at the Washington tournament. Alexander Zverev having an excellent 2018 season. And that wraps up the October 25th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Mr. Chang. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm Linor Moudou, host of Health Chat. Next week on Health Chat, we will have an exclusive interview with Dr. Helena Ndube, Namibian ophthalmologist notable for her charitable work among sufferers of eye-related illnesses in Namibia. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. Health Chat this Tuesday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
This is Science in a Minute.
A new Canadian study suggests that including high-protein milk with breakfast may help those with type 2 diabetes better maintain their blood glucose levels throughout the day, and that it helps the eater feel full. The study, published in the Journal of Dairy Science, also shows that consuming the high-protein milk at lunch helps reduce the eater's appetite compared to those consuming a lower or no-protein product. H. Douglas Goff, who led the team of researchers from the University of Guelph and the University of Toronto, both in Ontario, Canada, says that their study confirms just how important consuming milk at breakfast is in helping to slow the digestion of carbohydrates and maintain lower blood sugar levels. According to the World Health Organization, 425 million people between the ages of 20 and 79 are living with diabetes, with the number predicted to rise to 629 million by 2045. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends? Breakout artists? New releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa. She said she too young,
don't want no man. Starting Monday, November 5th, tune into Border Crossings to win a free copy of Now 68, featuring top songs from a variety of artists. This CD features Calvin Harris's One Kiss, along with Ariana Grande's God is a Woman, and many other hit songs. Tune in to Border Crossings to win.